Ahead of Transgender Day of Remembrance Saturday, we examine the prejudice, discrimination, and violence encountered by people who are transgender and non-binary. The Human Rights Campaign, it documents at least 46 transgender or gender non-conforming people fatally shot or killed this year. And they say this is surely underreported. Are you part of the transgender community? Do you live in a place that is welcoming and safe, or is it the opposite? Join in at 800-642-1234. Michael Munson is executive director of Forge. It's a transgender support and anti-violence organization. Michael, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thank you. I'm good. I'm glad to be here today with you.
There is this worrisome FBI data that you've seen showing that anti-transgender hate crimes are going up and up, and it's a big jump in instances from 2019 to 2020. What can you tell us about this violence that the transgender and the gender nonconforming community is facing?
Yeah, it's a really good question. One of the things that we don't know is the FBI data. So FBI does not track trans people, but we definitely have seen an uptick in anti-trans violence, which includes, homicides as well as other forms of victimization. So it's a trend that's mirroring what's happening in general society, where there's an uptick in gun violence, an uptick in, police brutality, an uptick in hate of all different kinds against all different people. And that includes trans people.
So this really gets swept up into a larger problem of hate that is going on in America?
I think so. I mean, there's certainly been anti-trans violence, which has been going on for forever. I mean, it's not a new thing, but I think the higher numbers this year, and they continue to grow, is likely added to by the general culture of hate that we see going on in our politics and in, kind of the celebrity life and some of the things that make mainstream press.
Black and brown transgender women and transgender people face additional discrimination, additional persecution. We've seen documentation that the majority of people targeted and killed were Black and Latinx transgender women last year. How do you think about that kind of statistic? How does it sit with you?
Well, it's very painful. And again, not to compare to general culture, but it's reflective of general culture where Black and brown people are disproportionately affected by violence, which is really, horrific. And it's a really big challenge. This year, it looks like there are 65% of the trans deaths that are Black and 15% that are Latinx. So, clearly that is the majority are folks of color who died this past year.
How do you reach those communities and figure out what can be done? What can you be done to stop the violence, especially in marginalized communities?
Right. And I think this is a challenge because, when I hear you say, what can we do to reach those communities? I think that places then the burden on trans communities to stop the violence. So we really need to flip that around and say, what does our culture need to do about anti-trans violence? So how do we reduce racism? How do we reduce sexism? How do we reduce all of the things that contribute to people having hateful feelings and prejudices against trans and non-binary people? So I think it's really about our culture, not about reaching out to trans people for trans people to stop the violence, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And looking at Wisconsin as a whole, the Human Rights Campaign puts out this state equality index, which is really interesting. It's like the state by state scorecard. In Wisconsin, it says we're building equality. How might you translate that work in progress type score?
Yeah, that's a really good question too. I think that there are some things that are already happening. The political realm does help. So having a governor that is more liberal is certainly helpful in stopping some of the anti-trans legislation. So legislative efforts are one piece of the component of the HRC's equality index. There are other things what are the school districts doing to stop bullying and hate? Are insurance companies covering trans-related healthcare? All of those kinds of things contribute to a healthier life for trans people and a healthier society that says we acknowledge and respect people who are maybe different than who we are. So it respects trans people, it respects people of color, it respects people of all ages, and all of those kind of different populations.
Michael, as you look at that policy shifts and the legislation, in June of last year, the Supreme Court ruled in Bostock versus Clayton County, Georgia, that case that sexual orientation and gender identity discrimination are prohibited under federal employment protections. Yeah. Was that case, was that a turning point for the transgender community?
You know, I think that it is. I mean, it for sure is. And I think that when we look at things, that doesn't always go into practice, right? So laws can be great, legislation can be great, Supreme Court can be great, but we're seeing things not to, to change from trans issues, but like reproductive rights were a given based on the Supreme Court, and now they're in question. So just because the Supreme Court ruled and it was an excellent ruling, it doesn't mean that that is what's happening on the local level or the state level. So there are still like anti-trans bills going on in our state, in Wisconsin, even though they're not about employment. So yes, it helps. It helps a lot. But there are some other things that can override that or change it in non-employment settings.
Along those lines, more than 100 anti-trans bills have been introduced nationwide. Here in Wisconsin, the Assembly approved bills that would ban transgender students taking part in sports based on their gender identity. How do these bills affect the culture shift that you're addressing and working on?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, this was the highest year for anti-trans legislation across the country. So there's 194 anti-trans legislative efforts. And there are currently four that are present in Wisconsin that are still in the works. So, I mean, having just the fact that there are anti-trans bills has a really big impact on trans people and trans youth. I mean, what is it like for, you know, a 12-year-old kid who's been told, no, you can't play on the soccer team that aligns with your gender? I mean, that is a really horrible message to send kids. And then what do they grow up with? You know, thinking that they're not as good of a person, not as real of a person as their non-transgender peers. So it's really a horrible thing when we look at the bills that are against children in particular.
We have Michael Munson with us, leads a transgender support and anti-violence organization called Forge. How do you feel attitudes have changed toward the transgender community over the years? Have you noticed your own feelings and attitudes evolve? Are you worried about the health and safety of a transgender loved one? What do you think should be done to address anti-transgender violence? Still time to talk about this. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Michael Munson here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. During this Transgender Awareness Week, we're discussing the work of the Milwaukee advocacy organization called Forge. It focuses on improving the lives of transgender people by building stronger connections, by providing resources, and empowering growth by spreading information about what the HRC estimates as 2 million transgender and non-binary people in the U.S. Michael Munson co-founded Forge, leads the organization with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's bring on a caller now. Timmy is joining us from Fort Atkinson. Hi, Timmy. What would you like to bring up?
Just the fact that they're passing laws for these transgender, and once you're on a program with the HRT, it changes your muscle tone and your body structure. So I don't think it's fair that they're disqualifying transgender people from doing sports or activities.
Timmy, what could I ask you about what your situation has been like, your personal experience?
My personal experience is it's been a little rough with the family, but things have gotten better over the last year. Mm. I did take a road trip out to the West this summer to get away and kind of reflect and make sure this is the right path I took. But during that whole trip and all my stops, I had absolutely no problem. I identify as a transgender woman. I probably, most people would say I don't pass really well, but I present myself as well as I can. And I think people respect that.
Michael, go ahead.
You know, I think, you know, the first part about sports, it's, the, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous that trans kids can't play in the sports that align with their gender. And, you know, whether that's because of, you know, what physical structures, you know, people have when they're trans, on hormones, not on hormones. When we're looking at kids in particular, most kids are not on hormones, and, you know, kids are kids, and it's pretty even playing field. So it's really much more about discrimination and hate than it is about the kids' bodies.
Timmy, if you're still there, you know, at the holidays, what might that be like to see family again? And are you, what are you thinking about at, during the holiday season?
The holiday season's a little rougher. Sorry, getting emotional. Because of my transitioning and my past, I ended up where I'm not really invited to the family affairs. I have to create my own now. Mm. So that's basically what I'm having to do now. Even though that I'm still good friends with my ex-wife, some of the kids feel that maybe we shouldn't be together all the time. So we should just create separate lives, which is really hard, but I'm working on that part.
Michael, what support and advice can you offer Timmy?
It's hard. I think that, you know, we've got a really divided pool where some folks are experiencing kind of ostracization from their families. And on the other hand, a lot of families are becoming more accepting. So Timmy, I hope that you can find some good rituals and make some new plans for future holidays that feel good for you and the people that are around you, whether that's chosen family or friends.
Timmy, thank you for sharing your story. Michael, you were one of Forge's co-founders. How did you get into this work? How did you get into this advocacy work?
Well, 27 years ago, there was not a lot of internet presence, and we found that there were a group of folks that really wanted to access resources that just weren't there. So the work started very grassroots out of, you know, there's a need here for people to connect with therapists, to connect with each other. And we started out as a small group of folks who needed support, and we wanted to help people get connected to those existing resources. We've since moved on to exclusively focusing on anti-transgender hate violence and sexual assault and intimate partner violence.
When you talk about support networks, do you also mean bringing people together so that they can talk and they have an outlet, especially if they're going through difficult times at home?
Yes, of course. It certainly means bringing people together. It means that we want to include the people who are supporters, whether they're biological family of origin. We want to encourage those connections and increase community connections to, you know, reduce stigma, reduce hate, and increase you know, a sense of belonging and community and love with each other.
We're talking with Michael Munson, who leads the anti-violence and transgender advocacy organization called Forge, as we discuss issues facing the transgender community and the greater society, especially in the pandemic. You can join in with your story, 800-642-1234. Michael, looking ahead to Trans Day of Remembrance and commemorating people who have died in violent ways, what are groups doing to commemorate the day?
There are a couple of things. So on the day of, which is November 20th, we've got a couple of things going on that are kind of statewide. In Madison, there's going to be a rally and march and set of speeches from 3 to 5 p.m. on that Saturday at the Capitol. So people are going to meet at the Capitol. The day before that, in Milwaukee, we're hosting a virtual Milwaukee Transgender Day of Remembrance on Zoom and Facebook. So we encourage folks to join us. If you'd like to learn more about that event, you can find it at forge-wi.org. And we have a lineup of all Black and Latinx speakers. And I believe that the Saturday program is all Black and Latinx speakers as well. So we encourage folks to come to either of those events. And we know that, you know, a lot of times churches or other smaller community groups hold other TDORs that are maybe of a little bit lesser scale.
In the last moments we have, let's turn to the pandemic, because there is new survey data out indicating that LGBTQ plus people are far more likely to have received a COVID vaccine than the general population and are more worried about the effects of the Delta variant. What are some of your observations so far as to how the pandemic has affected the transgender community?
That's really interesting what you just shared, because in our experience with trans communities in particular, there's been a lower level of vaccination. So, that's really interesting that you report the opposite of that. One of the things that we're seeing in terms of COVID is just this devastation around, racism and economic insecurity and all of the things that are affecting everyone related to COVID. And we're also seeing an increase in intimate partner violence. And that directly relates to the murders of trans folks, where there's a higher percentage of folks that are dying as a result of intimate partner violence. So COVID has really increased the levels of intimate partner violence and created a lot more isolation for folks, which can sometimes increase risk-taking and increase depression and increase suicidal thoughts and actions.
And the Human Rights Campaign said, with that caveat, LGBTQ people getting vaccinated, there is this counter story that people who are living at the intersections of multiple marginalized identities bear the brunt of this pandemic. Would you make that assessment?
I think so. I mean, when we look at the fact that, a lot of Black and Brown folks are not getting vaccinated for a variety of reasons that, we could take hours to talk about. And there are other health disparities for trans communities and for Black and Brown trans communities, and a lack of access to good health care. It definitely means that there's a disproportionate effect of folks who are experiencing COVID-related illness and some of the hardships related to COVID.
Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Michael Munson leads the anti-violence and transgender advocacy organization called Forge. We have a link to Forge at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.